Praise the Lord. Now, you know, according to scripture, you are a house. Eh? You're a house for God. Eh? According to scripture, you're a house for God. But not only are you a house, you're a city. Eh? Eh? Praise the living God. Eh? Not only are you a house, but you're a city. And the Bible says, and the Lord, as I was coming, said, tell them this. Eh? Glorious things are spoken of you. Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? Glorious things are spoken of you. Psalms 87 and verse 3. Glorious things are spoken of you. That's your word for this week. Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? It says, glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Eh? You are that city. Eh? Glorious things are spoken of you. That means whether people are saying things about you, whether they're rumor mongering, whether they're saying, oh, that girl is like this. Eh? Eh? Glorious things are spoken of you. Eh? Now, what that means is that there are two kinds of glorious things. The glorious things that are spoken in the heavenlies of you, and the glorious things that are spoken on earth of you. Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? Eh? That is your word for this week, and it's something that you should run with. Eh? Praise the living God. Eh? There was a man of God called Oral Roberts. Eh? Some of you know him. An evangelist of the Lord who passed away. Oral Roberts, I love to, you know, in his autobiography, he talks about how his mother was a praying mother, constantly praying. Now, I know what it is to have a praying mother. Some of you must know what it is to have a praying mother. A mother, irrespective of circumstance, prays for you and stands in the gap for their child. And women have that disposition. They have the capacity to prevail in prayer. And that's why I say, and I say again that prayer is not necessarily, you know, that's not necessarily prayer. That's a type of prayer. But prayer begins with desire. And when desire is strong, even if you haven't said anything, it goes like incense before the Lord. Eh? And ladies have a natural proclivity to prayer. And so Oral Roberts had a praying mother. And one time, the story said in his autobiography, some of you might know, one time her neighbor had someone who was in a dire condition. And so she crosses over from her house and she's pregnant. She's pregnant with Oral Roberts at this time. She crosses over to the other house to pray for a child that was in dire need. And the child was almost at the point of death. And she prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing was happening. So she went before God and said, Lord, if you would save this child, I will give this child in my belly to you. And so the child got well. Eh? And when the child got well, she gave birth to Oral Roberts. And prophetically, she named him Oral, which means to speak. Okay? It was prophetic. Picked it from the Lord, which means to speak. But the problem is that he was born with a stutter in his mouth, in his tongue. Eh? He couldn't speak well. Eh? And so often the enemy, and that's not from God, because when a prophetic word is spoken, the Lord runs with it, eh? Eh? Not against it. Eh? And so he's born with a stutter, and that's a work of the enemy in some way. And so usually the devil doesn't attack you because of who you are now. The devil does not attack you because of who you are now. Rarely does he do that. He attacks you because of who you're going to be. Huh? But the trick is on him, because in the spirit, you already are. Praise the Lord. Eh? And so he had a stutter, and his mother used to speak over him and say, one day, Oro, you will speak to nations. Continuously speaking to him, a son was stuttering, until one day the stuttering disappeared. Okay? Now, I want you to understand something. Our Lord, Spirit of the Lord, guide me in this. Eh? That you see, there's a man of God called Bob Jones. Eh? Bob Jones was a prophet of God who passed away a few years back, one of the most prominent prophets on this earth, But the nation he was in, the USA, did not receive him. And because only a handful of people received him, the impact on the nation was not as it should have been. That's why it's always very important to understand that when God bestows something on someone, bam! When he bestows it on someone and it's national, it's important that the nation receives the person that God has sent, because it determines the destiny of a country. Bob Jones talks about an experience that he had. He was taken one night into the spirit world. And when he was taken to heaven, he saw a book. And when he saw a book, he walked towards the book, opened it, and inside the book, he saw Bible characters and their stories. And he saw Simon Peter, and he saw John, and all these guys that you think about, and their stories and the accomplishments that they had done on earth, both in scripture and those that you do not know about. So he continues to turn the book and lands upon men and women of God who are currently at that time living on earth. And he saw the accomplishments. And he was shocked to see that the accomplishments written went beyond the time frame that the people were living in. So, if it was 1970, he turned to 1990 and saw an accomplishment of someone yet to reach 1990. But what shocked him was this. He said in his experience that when he flipped through the book, he went and he realized that the accomplishments of the apostles were fewer compared to the accomplishments of the people in this time. And so an angel standing by, he asked, "Why is it so?" And the angel replied and said, "Because as time goes on, grace is abundant." Praise the Lord! Do you know there's actually a thing as grace being more? Paul talks about in scripture, he refers to it as my grace. My grace. And there are graces that people have that they tap upon. But that because this time, the time that we live in is the end time, the grace is abundant, much more than it has ever been. Grace grows. And so the ability for you to accomplish that which God has planned for you is greater than it has ever been. And the most amazing thing is that in the spirit, it is seen as a finished work. Your job by nature is simply to walk into it. Now, in the spirit, I realized that being is more important than doing. Okay? If you realize that when Jesus came on earth, God sent his son to die for you, not necessarily for what you did, but because of who you are. And so who you are needed to change to affect what you do. Okay? Praise the Lord. That's why in the spirit it's important you understand, because most of us are affected by the doings. Oh, yesterday I did this. Yesterday I did this. God must be angry with me. And so you must understand that the state of the spirit, the way he sees things from the mindset of a being. Praise the Lord. Praise the living God. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. I'm punishing you, eh? I'm moving too much, eh? Don't mind the noise, eh? Now, what does it say? Come on, read. 1, 2, 3. Okay. Now, this is a very, very crucial scripture. It says, "Before I formed thee," the earth, when it was created, the earth has four stages. The earth, this earth that we're in, has four stages. There was a stage just before Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. And God said, "Let there be light." There was an earth before that. Then there was an earth that Adam was put into. Okay? Then there was an earth after he sinned. Yeah? Which is what we're in currently. Then there will be an earth in the millennial reign. A new heaven, a new earth. Okay? Now, there is a time frame of things that happened before. When he says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. That before there is referring not just to a concept. It's referring to a time before time. Now, I've said this before and I've taught this continuously. That the Bible says, Psalms 139 verse 15. Take me there. Psalms 139 verse 15. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Start from verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I used to have a friend who used to say, some people are fearfully made, others are wonderfully. Huh? And he says, marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Verse 15. It says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. There was a substance. What he refers to as a substance. It was not hid from him. Next verse. Verse 16. Thine eyes did see my substance. And it says, yet being unperfect, in thy book all my members were written, which in continuous were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Another version says, all my days were written in a book. There's a message I have called the Destiny. You'll ask, what? You ask whoever it is for it, Edwin. And I emphasize on this. It's very important that you understand that you existed before the foundation of the earth. Not as a concept, but as a substance. And it's important you understand that when the Bible says, many are called but few are chosen, the mind of Christ is not in reference to the choosing here or now. It's in reference to a choice that happened before you came. Oh my God. Now this is why I need you to understand. That you see in scripture, in the heavenlies, before the very foundation, the Bible says, it says here that God saw the substance. When he's speaking to Jeremiah, he says, before you were formed, I knew thee. The knew there is an intimacy. It's not knowing I know you. It's an intimacy. Adam knew Eve. That means there was a loving. You can't be intimate with something that is inexistent. So your substance was there from the very beginning, and God knew you. There was an intimacy. Now, one day we shall touch on this, but I need you to understand that in the heavenlies, long before man was created, there was a selection process. Everyone realigned to the dispensations that they would come. And somehow in the spirit, the Lord says, Gloria should be in the last generation. You understand? Orchestrated. And that's why, that's where the place of choosing comes. That many were called, but you were ascertained. You looked, everything that was put in you, your state of your spirit was chosen to bring you into the last generation. Orchestrated perfectly. Now, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. That your spirit was selected before the foundation of the earth. And there was a DNA put inside of your spirit. A spiritual DNA. Pop! That DNA went along with emotions. Went along with intellect. It went along with the likes and dislikes. That were perfect for you to fulfill your call here on earth. Now, that's why you'll find that some people are more intellectual than others. Paul needed extra intellect to write the whole New Testament. There's an extra grace of intellect. Some people are more emotional than others. Orchestrated. Do you know that in the Bible, Joseph was an emotional chap? Joseph. Scripture says that his brothers come before him and he goes aside to cry. Then scripture says, after that, he sends the servants away and then grabs Benjamin and cries. And then scripture says that the servants heard him outside because he was so loud. Not only that, scripture says that when he meets his father after years, He falls into his arms and cries.
Men don't cry.
Huh? Scripture says that when his father died, he bowed over his faith and cried. Emotional chap. Huh? So some people, their emotion, absent of emotion, if he was intellectual, they might not have been a forgiveness for his brothers. Huh? God instills in him a certain amount of emotion. That's why some people are open, more open than others. The Bible says that Hannah cries before God and is speaking, speaking, speaking. We don't know what she's saying, but we know maybe she's speaking in tongues. And God, moved by emotion, gives her her heart's desire. Now may that be your portion. In the name of Jesus. Now, as the Spirit of the Lord tells me to remind you that as we speak, it is fulfilled in your hearing. Now, I need you to hear that I'm not randomly just picking scenarios. There are people here with those scenarios. In relation to the issue of Joseph, the Spirit of the Lord says, like his family was reconciled, so may your family be reconciled. There are people who, as God put in their spirits creativity so that it was efficient. They are more creative than others. By nature, all of us are creative. But there are people who are more creative than others. Listen carefully. The moment you become a Christian, an abundance of things like creativity ceases to be just an attribute. It is an anointing. Before you become born again, you're good at singing. Or you're a better singer than other people. When you get born again, you're not just a better singer, you're anointed. Huh? Praise the Lord. And so you transition into the realm of the godly, the God realm, and the Spirit of God comes upon you. Pop! And when it's anointed, that means when you sing, transformation. Very important you get what the Spirit of the Lord is saying here. Rarely do we plan what we're going to say. We feel the atmosphere. And so you must understand what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before you were formed, he doesn't even attribute Jeremiah's existence to his parents. They were just channels. However pleasant the process. Now some of you are like, oh no, you get it. No, don't be religious. Hey. However pleasant the process. He doesn't attribute Jeremiah's existence to the parents. He says, I formed thee. Then he says, I ordained thee. There was an ordination. I should stop reading. It seems like there was an ordination, ordained, sanctified. That means you were set apart from the very beginning. Now, please understand what that actually means. What that means is that God says, I ordained thee and I called thee to be a prophet to the nation. Prophet is the calling. The nation is the mandate. That means when God called Jeremiah, the minimum thing he expected from Jeremiah is to influence a nation. Huh? Not a sub-county, not a district. He said, I called you to be a prophet to the nations, plural. Minimum he expected is national. Praise the Lord. And so, that's what he says, that I called you to be a prophet to the nations. Now, please understand that every one of us, and the Spirit of the Lord needs to clarify on this, that every one of us here have callings, and I've said before that there's a difference between a calling and a purpose. And I said that a calling is positional in nature, while a purpose is durational. So David's call was to be king. His purpose was what he did as king. Okay, Moses' call was to be prophet. His purpose was what he did as prophet. Okay, so purpose is not one thing. Otherwise, I've said before, Moses would have just died after taking the Israelites out of Egypt. But the Bible says he lives 40 more years. Okay, now, please understand that while the Lord orchestrated things, and this is where you need to know that you see, there's a lady friend of mine I used to have. I've lost touch with her. Her name was Angela. And she used to constantly ask me, back those days, she used to ask me, Daniel, I want to know my call. I want to know my call. I want to know my purpose. And if I was who I am now, I would have said things differently. Eh? But she's exactly where she is supposed to be. You see, every time she watched the news and people was suffering, she would cry. And you know, you're watching news with her and you're like, oh, come on. Huh? She would cry. When she would read newspapers and look at people who are going through things, earthquake victims and so on, she would cry. And so the Lord, you see, what you need to understand is that in your spirit was put your call, and your spirit knows it. So when it comes in touch with something that ignites it, it makes you feel it. So your body reacts and you don't know. Let me tell you the truth, that when you are created for certain places, and there were certain places that were created for you. Now what that means is that that your call and your purpose, you, there are environments where you can thrive and there are environments where you can't. There are places you will visit and there are places that you will change. Yeah? You only change a place that is your environment. So what the Lord does, he puts in your spirit a gift, pop, puts it in you. And you see, I don't know what, you're in Uganda, you're sitting there, you're like, man of God, what's my call? When you change, go to the UK, all of a sudden your gift is chamugated. And you ask yourself, but I was in Uganda, why wasn't the gift chamugated? Because the environment was not suitable for the gift. Ha. Praise the Lord. There are natural environments and spiritual ones. Natural on earth and spiritual ones. The natural environments have to do with locations and the people you hang around. Sometimes you can't thrive because the chaps around you are fake. Huh? But you see, there are also spiritual environments. Those environments in the Bible are referred to, Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed. The spiritual environments are called worlds. There are spiritual environments that are perfect just for you. Just for you. That's why some people, that's not your portion. Attend church day, night, pray, and they sit and they're like, they love God, but their life just seems like nothing is opening up. There's just, you're just an environment away. I know that for a fact, you're just an environment away. Do you know that when the Spirit of the Lord sent your spirit here on earth and put you in a body, the Bible says of Jesus, did Jesus exist before he came in the flesh? Yes, he did. And his pattern is ours. Jesus existed in the spirit before he came. Now when he came, the Bible says, Hebrews 10:5, that he says, offerings and sacrifice you did not want, but a body you prepared for me. That's what the Bible says. So a body was shaped and prepared for Jesus, and his spirit came inside it. Boop! Yours is just the same. Your formation did not become, does not start with biology. Okay? And I've said it before, that all of a sudden you come into this earth. When you come into this earth, because you've entered a body of sin, you forget. But the Spirit of the Lord plants in your spirit what I call prophetic markings. Prophetic markings. You're watching TV and you begin to cry. You're around someone and you hear their testimony and it moves you more than others. And so all of a sudden the Lord is using the inside of you to draw you closer to your place. Those are prophetic markings. There are places you say, let me just go and visit this fellowship. You sit there above and you feel something that you've never felt before. And you realize something tells you, I don't know. You go to your man of God and say, I have to leave this place. And he tells you why. God is everywhere. Not knowing that you see, there is a presence of God everywhere, but there is a tangible manifest presence. Now, that tangible manifest presence aligns itself also in line with the places and the environments you're supposed to be. Let me tell you something. If, for example, you went to the UK or USA, I don't know, I'm picking UK a lot. Because of you, eh? If, for example, okay, let me use some local examples. I use the local examples. Now you're in the spirit. Okay? So let's say you're going to Japan. No one's saying amen. Japan needs the gospel. Okay, so say you end up going to Japan, just for the sake of going to Japan. You're a man of God. You can preach, you can prophesy. But you enter Japan before your season. You can still prophesy. You still have your gifting. You can still do the same thing. But the effect is almost not there. Because environments, especially with purpose, have timings. Let me tell you. Do you know why when we say the world has not yet seen you? It's because as long as you're still breathing, you haven't, your environment is coming. Your circumstances, the things orchestrated for you are coming. The Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. One day, you're there and you're looking at models. You're amongst the models, you're just there. Is that how they walk? Eh? So you're looking at models and you think, this one is taller than me, this one shorter than me, this one is what? Then you're thinking, and someone tells you, you do not have what we desire. And then a whole new category is created just for you. Praise the Lord. If you begin to understand that there are places made for you, listen to a secret by the Spirit. You can never change a place that you're not greater than. I'm telling you, you can never change a place that you are not greater than. Jeremiah, given an action, a mandate of a nation, nations plural, but starting minimum nation. Adam, when he came on earth, his mandate was the entire planet. He says, go, be fruitful, multiply the entire earth. Someone is given the planet as a dominion aspect. We know parts of it because the Bible says, ask of me and I will give thee the nations for an inheritance. Hear me, child of God, eh? That there are things that were done in the spirit long before you came. Things that were orchestrated, mandates that were given. And the world is just waiting for you to come out. David said something, 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. Are we together? Before I go to it, Job 38, the Lord has given me a scripture. Job 38, I believe it's verse 20, 21. You guys with me? Irrespective of the noise, you're with me? Very, very important for you. All right? Knowest thou? This is God speaking to Job. All right? And I've shared this with those who have been with me for some time. That Job is complaining. Lord, things are messed up. What happened? This and that. Now, God shows up. You know the story. And God starts to ask him questions. And God says, knowest thou? Start from verse 20. Thou shouldest take it to the bound thereof, and that thou shouldest know the parts of the house thereof. Verse 21. He says, knowest thou it because thou wast then born, or because the number of thy days is great? Now, give me the, start from verse 17 and give me the Amplified. Give me the Amplified. Amplified as A-M-P. Yeah. Have the gates, this is God asking Job, a man, have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the doors of deep darkness? Next verse. He says, have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know it all. Next verse. Where is the way where light dwells? He's asking Job. And as for darkness, where is its abode? Verse 20. That you may conduct it to its home and may know the paths to its house. 21. You must know. It's not a question. You must know since you were born then. I don't know if you get what God is telling Job. He's not questioning him. He's asking him because Job should know. He was there. He says, you must know since you were born then, or because you are so extremely old. Give me the message version. Give me message. Give me a message version. He says, why, of course you know that. You've known them all your life. Grown up in the same neighborhood with them. And when I tell you that you existed, you existed. Do you know that if you look at the life of Jesus, the Bible says of Jesus Christ, look, in Luke he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he has anointed me. Then he says, stuff. Then he says, this has been fulfilled in your hearing, and closes the book. Now, somehow, the Lord, when he came, knew which scriptures were meant to be his. That means when you read the Bible, you should discern the scriptures that are yours. When the Bible says glorious things are spoken of you, look through scripture and say, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. You go, you read a scripture, you're next to an unbeliever, even if it's a believer, and scripture, and you see, you open a Bible and it says Solomon was wise, then you close and say, this has been fulfilled in your hearing. Praise the Lord. You pick a scripture and it says the daughters of Job were the most beautiful. You close, this has been fulfilled in your hearing. Praise the living God. Glorious things are spoken of thee. Spoken of thee. Praise the Lord. And so you must understand that the way the spirit world speaks of things, it speaks of them as finished. Please understand that Jesus, according to scripture, Luke 10 verse 1, the Bible says he sent out 72 and he sent them in pairs. If the Lord, who is wise, God himself, sent out the disciples in twos and saw that it was insufficient for someone to fulfill an assignment alone, what makes you think that when you are sent here on earth, you are sent to do this stuff alone? What makes you think that? What? Now, what that means is that when the spirit, because if on the natural, a natural assignment, go and preach to people, Jesus says go in twos. That means from the very foundations of the earth, you needed a pairing. And the pairing is minimum. Because you see, it's not just about a marriage thing, but there are people called to you and people you are called to. Let me tell you, as a minister, there are people who are sent here on this earth to partner with me. And because they were sent to partner with me, I can't fulfill my call absent of them. Because no man in the spirit is an island. You understand? And there were people I was sent to. That means someone is sitting there thinking, Lord, 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 what is my call? What is my purpose? All of a sudden I pick you out. Just pick you out. And I walk into a room and I'm sitting watching TV at home and the Lord drops in my spirit, Diane. And you say, Lord, now who is Diane? And he says, just go and ask for a Diane. You will find her there. Her job, whether she knows it's her day or not, is, I feel like I should go to fellowship today. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, that's even because I know, even with things like sickness now, let me tell you. Even with things like sickness, like disease, like all those things, you need to understand that there's a master plan in the spirit. Before you came on this earth, there was a blueprint that the Bible actually says is not yearly, it's not monthly, it's not even just daily, it's hourly. He says all the details of my life, you wrote them down in a book. That means every moment, the minimum unit in scripture is the hour. Minimum. And I always tell people that every new day is a new grace. Now, if you understand the things of the spirit, you know it's not just a new day. The moment it hits a new hour, the masses are new every morning. Every single morning. And you see the fight, you see, you guys, I know there's noise, but you're with me? Eh? You're with me? That you see, the Spirit of the Lord has orchestrated that you should be here at this particular time. That I play my role, pop, and move on to the next person. Now, whether I pick you out or not, as long as the environment is conducive, you say, man of God, today, I don't know. That was my word. Okay? Praise the Lord. That's why if you look through scripture, that the most paramount, the most peak anointed men in scripture never ever orchestrated or fulfilled their purposes on their own. Now, whether you're a businessman, whether you're into fashion, computer, there are people who are called to you. Chaps who are holding money in their pocket, and for some reason people keep on coming and say, give me some money. He says no. But the day you show up and you don't even beg, because that's not your portion, you just say, I have this desire, this dream, he says, I don't know why I feel like giving to you. Because there are people orchestrated perfectly for you. The day you realize that, you will not fight when people leave. Go! You go. And you know what? I just feel like this is not working out. Go. Hey, praise the Lord. You go. Do you know that when the Lord created you, he knew, and I've said this before, that the earth was sufficient training to get you to be a king. So all the environment, the tough stuff, it's perfect for you. Some chap who is born in Karamoja somewhere, perfect for him. And I've taught you before that no one begins at an advantage. No one. Wherever you're placed, something in you can handle the environment. You thrive. Do you know that there are places your gift will operate even though you don't like the places? Like, I don't like this place, but the anointing is flowing. The Bible says of Jeremiah, it refers to him as a weeping prophet. Weeping. Every message he had was just sad. Okay? I'm sure he had an issue with what he was doing, but the anointing was flowing. Was flowing. There are places you will be put, there are jobs you will be taken to, there, and you'll find yourself like, I don't like this place. But all of a sudden, there's an influence and an effect that you have. And you will know that when the season runs out like this, the effect stops. I'm telling you, some of you are just an attachment away. Because you see, let me show you something. When the Lord sent your spirit into your body, he condensed what I call promptings that are much deeper than memories. You can't remember the life before, but he put convictions. And somehow you just sit and you say, man, I just feel like I need to be in that choir. You can't remember, because in the realm of memory, in memory, you are actually in the choir singing. And in the spirit, you saw it and said, Lord, I will go. But you come, you don't remember. So he puts conviction, much stronger than memory. Not only does he put conviction, your dreams align themselves. We call them destination dreams, or dreams that give instruction. Job chapter 33, verse 14 to 15. Take me there. Job 33, verse 14 to 15. For God does reveal his will. Give me the KJV. He says, for God speaketh once, yet twice, yet man perceiveth not. Verse 15. And he says, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, in slumberings upon the bed. 16. He says, then he opens the ear of men and seals their instruction. Now this is for someone who forgets a dream. Instructions are sealed. You walk the instruction whether you remember or not. Hey, guys, verse 17, that he may withdraw man from who? From his purpose. It's not his with a capital H. Sometimes we create our own purposes, our own ways. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but its path is thereof that of destruction. Someone forges his own way. So in a dream, the Lord gives you a dream to withdraw you from your purpose. Because scripture is specific. It said, who are called according to his purpose. Praise the Lord. Praise the living God. Let me shock you. Scripture says that Jesus is the King of Kings. That word kings is not in reference to men who rule on earth. It's in reference to you. So Jesus is the King of you, the King, and the Lord of you, the Lord. You get what I'm saying? He couldn't care less about these non-believers in the very sense of it, because they haven't yet entered dominion and kingship until they give their lives to Christ. Now, the thing about lordship is this. To be called Lord means that there are certain things that will bow to you. In business, someone is Lord. No, you see, God calls someone to business, but God is not ambiguous. There's a specific business. You understand? And so someone will go and will enter the business of minerals, and they will try, say, clothing, because minerals doesn't seem to be opening. But in clothing, nothing bows. Because to be called Lord, things must bow. Yeah? Things must bow. They must bow. And so there are things you are Lord over, actual Lord. He says the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, which is what you are. Now, here's what the Spirit is saying. Something happened in 1968. Now, it seems to have switched, but I haven't left. Eh? In 1968, and I always teach on the cosmos, and I teach on the influence of the stars on the earth. And something happened. One day I'll go deeper into it. But something happened in 1968. I think it's 68. Man, for the first time, stepped on the moon. Yes? For the first time in history, man stepped on the moon. Now, there's a man called Neil Armstrong, first man to step on the moon. He said, one step for man, one giant step for mankind. Now, he did not know by the Spirit that that act was actually an indicator to the church. There's one of the guys he went with called Buzz Aldrin. Buzz Aldrin went with communion to space. The moment they hit the moon, he took out wine and bread and broke it. It's called the only lunar communion. Now, what he was doing was spiritual, because it indicated that something had happened on that day where the church was going to go farther than it had ever gone before. Okay? The next year, the charismatic movement kicked off. And the charismatic movement was a movement where the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the church, irrespective of denomination, people started speaking tongues, operating the giftings. Right after someone stepped on the moon and broke communion. Buzz Aldrin was a born-again Christian. Still is. There are things in the spirit that men do that are indications of things on the earth and the moves of God. 2006, an orb, a spacecraft, was launched into space and released to travel the entire universe. It's called the Voyager. You can even track it on Earth, in Google. Now, 2006, they sent it out. In 2015, it crossed our solar system. We have 9 planets in this solar system. Pluto is the last in the solar system. 2015, it hits Pluto and leaves our solar system and sends back pictures to us of what is beyond our solar system. It was a sign in 2015 that we had gone beyond and we had come to the end of our age. I don't know. We had entered the end, which is what we're in. 2015. There were blood moons in 2015. Indications. I don't want, some people tell me when I teach about end times, what, you get scared. But I need you to understand that there are indications in the spirit that from 2015, the move of the end rolled faster than it has ever been. That's why there's an urgency. If you're called to play instruments, the desire of the Lord is that His light might shine through you to affect the earth. If you're called to sing, that's the same. If you're called in business, that's the same. There's an urgency in the spirit. Now, the Lord told me before I came here that you must understand that every prophecy that has been given to you, every promise that you've received from the Lord, its initiation and opening comes now. Eh? I am not just encouraging. I'm too spiritual to just encourage. Praise the Lord. It opens for you in the name of Jesus Christ. You shall step in that country. You shall have that engagement ring in the name of Jesus. That wedding shall make her jealous. Praise the living God. No, you cannot tell me that the Lord does not give jobs because you need salary. God is purpose oriented. He says, if only I can get you in the UN. Only I can get you into the UN. I need to change that organization. Light needs to expel darkness. If only I can get you to the UN. I say, man of God, I've applied. Who told you that God looks at applications? You go through the process and then stand on the prophecy. Praise the Lord. Because as long as someone is spiritual, as long as they're not just hearing their own things, I don't just speak my own things. Especially if you see the prophetic word from someone who has the Spirit of the Lord upon them, you must understand that your timings have been opened. Your quickenings have been opened. All of a sudden, you're trying to plan. You're trying to learn how to multiply money. Huh? Let me receive it in the name of Jesus. Because when you're a Lord, huh? By the way, I wish you guys knew. When you have a degree, when you know who you are, I say I'm not Lord over shillings. Lord over shillings? No. You leave that to Gideon, to who? Eh? Those chaps, some chaps. But you, eh? Huh? You say Lord over what? Over what? When you go to the UK, what is it with UK? When you go to the UK, the moment you step, you say, I have arrived. I have. Praise the Lord. And so you begin to understand that you have to take things seriously. Do you know the Bible says, what does it say? Lord, remind me. The Bible says, now this is where the Spirit needs you to get this. It says, we love Him because He first loved us. The reference of that love is not in reference to Christ coming and dying. It's referring to the intimacy before time. I knew you. And so you see, let me tell you a secret. If you want an encounter with God, if you want an encounter with God, you want to see God. Encounters in the spirit start with outer court, inner court, holy of holies. The outer court experience. And should I touch this? Eh? The outer court experience is this. Eh? One day when you come before the presence of the Lord in any dimension, you will feel grace, you will feel mercy, you will feel power, but the most crucial thing is love. I'm telling you, most powerful thing is love. Now, that love is felt in the outer court. There's a degree of it felt in the outer court. Now, what that means is, the Bible says every good, in James, every good and perfect gift comes from God. That means someone comes and says, you sang well, sister, 2K. In the spirit. Now, yeah, this is an outer court, because that's an outer court love. Man inside them, absent of God, is incapable of good things. So when a man does something good, it flows from a deeper source. Are you getting what I'm saying? So someone brings you 2K. Brings you 2K, you see God. You see a love at a minimal level from God. Someone calls you, says, I just wanted to check on you. You see God. Now, the more you train your consciousness to see the love of God, the deeper you'll be drawn into it. Let me tell you the truth. Love pursues you. Love, it pursues you. You applied for a course, what? You didn't qualify. But somehow you got there. And so, I'm telling you, even if you used nepotism, and somehow you have an uncle who did this, just the mere fact that you go through, there's a life, a love that flows. And God is saying, I love you. At an outer court level, if a man has not trained his consciousness to see the love of God, he will never be able to experience the deeper loves. Oh my God, I wish you could pick what the heart of the Lord is saying. That you see, that love in its very sense, if you tap into it, the trueness of God's love, it makes fear look like an illusion. Like an illusion. That the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. If I'm still fearing rent, I'm yet to understand perfect love. Will the rent come? There's a place where a man, having walked into God, stands and understands his love. And as he sits there, all fear dissipates. That place is actually what they call the secret place. That secret place is a place of love. I'm telling you, the Bible says in Psalms 91, it says the disease, the pestilence will not come near you. There are things that cannot touch you. I have understood without a shadow of a doubt that when a man, having drawn and gone, because it says, because he loved us, he first loved us, we love him. You know, men have grown deeper into the loving of God when they love. I don't know what to say. So I cannot. There are people you will see, ministers, and they exude love because they've felt the love of God. And they see it. When someone brings seed, no matter how small, they say, thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Thank you. You thank God for the vessel, but you tell him, I've seen. Every day, there is a love poem being sent to you, and you disregard it, may you awaken to it in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. God writes poetry to you. There is someone in this place, and I know, Sangapi. Now you can't say it's harvest time. Okay. There's someone in this room. Rent is an issue. It's an urgent issue. And the Spirit of the Lord says that, do you not know that I own cattle on 1,000 hills? Do you not know that I cannot allow you to fall to shame? Do you not know that I love you? Says the Spirit of the Lord. And he says, now you will see my hand. It seems there are people with rent here. Praise the Lord. Second Samuel. I want to finish. Second Samuel. Uh, I have so much to say, but for another time. Huh? Some few words. Second Samuel, Father, remind me of the scripture. It's chapter 22, verse 34. 22 verse 34, quickly, and we leave this place. It says, He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. They are places that are your high places. They are yours. Yours. Your high places. The moment you reach it, the Bible says, He says, He setteth me. He picks you. There's no formula. Just puts you there. Pop! All of a sudden, everyone just keeps on looking and saying, Vanagi. Vanagi, that girl can sing. And yet you know that this one has a better voice. But there's a grace and a glory that flows from you. There are high places that are yours. Now, in the spirit, high places coincide with thrones. Huh? High places coincide with thrones. There's a man in the Bible called Azariah. You know him as King Uzziah. Azariah was his other name. The Bible says of Azariah, he walked well with God and followed all God's commandments. Then scripture says, but he did not bring down the high places. Now, what that means is that there are people who are walking on earth, being good Christians, praying and so on and so forth, but their thrones are being occupied by someone and they're not bringing down the high place. That is not your portion. In the name of Jesus, you will sit and be Lord. You will speak, decree a thing, and it shall open. The world shall know your voice. It shall know your face. People shall know you by one name. Huh? How do you say opera? You don't say which opera. No. Don't say which opera. Huh? May the media world be your portion. In the name of Jesus. Eh? May the music world be your portion. The fashion world be your portion. In the name of Jesus Christ. Don't tell me time is running out. Who told you? The Bible says He redeems the years that the locust has stolen. Now what that means is that somewhere in the realm of the spirit, you look like you're stagnant. Huh? But God quickens things for your portion. Now what that means is that what took someone 20 years? You just come and you show up. Where did you come? If you're a minister, the Spirit of the Lord says this, that there's an embrace you need to get. A resemblance, there's an example in Scripture. It's not about how big the congregation is. Because the weight that is on a man's glory, the weight that God put in their spirit, the weight that God put on them, is irrespective of congregation. That's why Moses, according to history, had 3 million people. But he's mentioned in the same breath as Elijah, who had none. The Bible says Moses and Elijah rank irrespective of congregation. Now, the Spirit of the Lord says to you, even if you're, because all your things take on ministry, that someone might have other, they might have more customers than your business, but you just need one. Just one and you overtake. Then they ask Nayogwe, that person is stealing, it's unfair. That's how salvation is. God is not fair. Huh? Praise the Lord. Praise the living God. Do you hear what the Spirit is saying to you? Do you hear what the Spirit is saying to you? Can I just take like 5 more minutes and... Overnight. Because overnight. Okay, let me touch on a scripture here. Bashete kerebo sondarabasia. Sete kerebo, Father, remind me. Sete kerebo. You with me? Yeah. Take me to Genesis chapter 37 verse 6 to 8, as we wind up, Genesis 36 37 verse 6 to 8. Okay. And he said unto them, this is a Jacob. Actually, it's Joseph. Joseph has a dream. All right? It's not even his fault. He didn't choose the dream that he has. You understand? It just fell on the guy. And that, so he's just sharing what happened. And scripture says, and he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamt. Then he go on, verse 7. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. Next verse. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Now, I need you to understand that there's a scripture. You know where God was asking Job, where were you? Job did not know. God told him, but you were there, you should know. Job did not. What Job did not know, Paul taps into Ephesians 1:4. He says, you are in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the earth. Paul answers what Job couldn't. And the only reason he can answer it is because he has the Spirit of the Lord upon him. But you see, verse 3, before we go even to verse 4, verse 3 says, for he has blessed you. Blessed be the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Then the next verse says, what's the next verse? It says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the earth. That means the statement of spiritual blessing in context is referring to blessings that were given before the foundation of the earth. Those blessings are diverse. He puts in your spirit the ability to read faster than others. Puts in your spirit, and they're all blessings in their own capacity. They are DNA, and they can be passed on from one person to another, both in the natural bloodline and the spiritual one. That's why if you look through the scripture, Jacob is born with the ability to dream, and his son captures it. His son, Joseph, dreams because Papa was a dreamer. The blessing was inherited. Now, you see, the Bible says that honor your father and mother, 10 commandments. It does not necessarily need to apply to just natural ones. They are spiritual fathers and mothers. And he says, you honor them, you shall have long life. Why? Because there's a reciprocation in the spirit that says that if you honor a thing, what that thing has comes back to you double. So because parents gave you life, when you honor, you receive long life. I don't even get what I'm saying. Okay, so you see someone with a fashion thing on themselves. Okay? Born again Christian, you tap, you say now, can let me tap this. And you see, you align yourself to a DNA. Now what I need you to understand is, you see in scripture, Joseph has a dream. His brothers interpret the dream. That means he wasn't the only one who captured the DNA. Because his brothers, the Bible doesn't say they dreamt, but the moment you can interpret a dream, you're a dreamer. Are you getting what I'm saying? So Jacob gives birth to 12 dreamers. There is a DNA that flows through the blood veins, natural and spiritual. You can start one. You can pursue something in the spirit, capture it, be the holder of it, the steward of it. And then you give birth to a child. And when they're born, you just say, now I bestow unto you. What are you talking about? Praise the Lord. Spiritual lineages. Now I need you to understand, because I have to finish. You see, the Bible says, and this is where I need you to get, because to get to a place of influence and effectiveness, love is crucial. Not just loving men, but loving God. And most importantly, understanding God's love for you. Do you know there's a scripture that messed me up? Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. Genesis 8 and verse 21. What does it say? It says, and the Lord smelt a sweet savor. This is after Noah, after the flood. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. He says, where? That means Noah didn't hear this. Yeah? God says this in his heart. Now, that's not what I want to bring to you. What I want to bring to you that messed me up is because the person who wrote Genesis was Moses. So by the Spirit, he hears the heart of God. You guys! Moses writing Genesis. Noah didn't know. Moses writes, not only does he say what God told Noah, but enters the realm of hearing the heart of God and says, God said in his heart, may that be your portion. May you hear the heart of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, it says that when you are united to God, you are one spirit with him. What that means is that you not only pick the mind of God, you pick the mood. Mood. Now let me tell you what that means. Mood means one day you're sitting there and you say, God is not happy. How do you know? Has he told you? I feel him. Because when you are one spirit, you pick mind, mood, feeling. That's how you tap into the heart of God. The Bible says, let's say I have to show you track records. The Bible says, Mark 10, verse 17. Mark 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? This is the rich young man. He comes, he's asking, because the Bible says he has done everything necessary, but somehow in his spirit he feels there's something missing. I need eternal life. Now, on a certain level, it can mean salvation. On another level, because there are many people here who feel, I've done what, and you feel there's something missing. You're just like this guy. He comes to Jesus, and this is the thing that messes me up. Jesus says, go, fulfill the commandments, so on and so forth. Only in Mark does it say that when the rich young man turned and said to Jesus, I have done all those things, what am I left to do? The Bible says, and Jesus turned and loved him. Now, the writer of Mark must have been able to see the heart of Christ to know that Jesus looked and loved. May you hear the heart of God. May you be moved by the heart of God. May people look at you and say, surely this person knows God. Praise the Lord. Praise the living God. There are emotions that are tied to being one with God. Praise the living God. Now here, I'm concluding. Yeah? That you see, I learned that the deepest pursuit is the pursuit of the presence of God. Because while God is with you all the time and is around you, the Bible says of David, he says, where can I flee from your presence? If I go here, you are there. If I go here, now people interpret it and think that God is simply everywhere. What David was saying is that he had practiced consciousness of the presence of God. Because I can assure you, if a man went to hell, they wouldn't feel the presence of God. But he is a man, having been intimate, tapped into the heart. The Bible says he's a man after the heart of God. Okay? And he's speaking from the place of a man after the heart. And he says, where can I go from your presence? He has trained himself to be conscious of the loving presence of God. The only reason why Moses could tap into the heart of God, like I've shown, is because the Bible says, Exodus chapter 33 verse 11. Scripture says that Moses spoke to God face to face like a man speaks to his friend. That means to tap into a heart of God, it wasn't just a guy who's in outside court saying, yeah, I feel God. It was an intimacy. And God doesn't just give you what he's thinking. He gives you what he's feeling. May that be your portion.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.